Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. How y'all feel?
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Pat Mahomes was held under 200 yards passing for only the second time in his career, but led the Chiefs with a career-high 59 rushing yards, and the defense let the Chargers walk between the 20s, but buckled down when they had to, picked Phillip Rivers four times, and they win in Mexico City. The Chiefs did 24-17. So we go to the Twin Peaks Scenic Views hotline, as we do every Tuesday, talk to Dan Israel from the Chiefs Radio Network, who's been a real soldier for us this morning, because I can't imagine you've been awake very long. What did you get home last night, 4 o'clock in the morning?
It was 6:15 this morning. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But we did beat the Chargers off the tarmac
yesterday,
so we beat them twice.
How? How did they do it? Because this, Bruce and I talked about it in the first segment. This was way more of a normal football game than we're used to watching with Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback, and he had to kind of dial everything back after some long passes that didn't work out in the first half. 24-17 looks pretty mundane for the Chiefs, so what were the keys?
Boy, if this were a television series and I were the writer, I wouldn't know what our – I mean, Mahomes' 72 passer rating. If you told me if last week when we talked and you told me next week, you guys, the Chiefs' defense is going to be the star of the show, I'd said, what? I just don't know. Frank Clark played like a man with a mission,
yep.
I thought, last night, and I felt like – you know, the whole defense really played with attitude, and nothing is more enjoyable in my mind than watching Phillip Rivers face down in the dirt after he's thrown his fourth interception. But you know what? That game still too close, guys. I mean, as that game was winding down, it had the feel of the previous season game at Arrowhead where they came back. I think that was the game. And
it was, yep.
You know, Phillip Rivers just – I don't know. He somehow manages to implode and keep the game close all at the same time. It's a very strange team when we play. It's a very strange games when we play the Chargers, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and it gets a few dadgummits from Phillip Rivers, no question. Okay, here's my hang with me on this one for a second. If the Ravens are sitting there right now in Baltimore, clearly defined as to what kind of football team they are and what they can hang their hat on. Define that for me for the Chiefs. What do we know 11 games in that we can absolutely set our watches to every single week, Dan?
Well, I think that's, yeah, you're exactly on track here. It's that's what's making it tough, is what is the identity of this team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if you looked at the Ravens, who clearly right now are atop the AFC, frankly, maybe atop the NFL. I mean, they seem to be playing very consistent football. You talk about Lamar Jackson and what he means to the franchise. Last night, Mahomes had great rushing numbers. I think he had 60-something yards, 59 yards maybe rushing. But, you know, think of Patrick Mahomes as being a rushing quarterback. You think of him being able to throw all over the field. He only has 182 yards on 32 attempts, 19 completions. That's one TD. How about that? And an interception.
Yeah.
Just not uncharacteristic Patrick Mahomes numbers. So you can't really say, hey, this is a team that's surrounded about, you know, Patrick Mahomes. He is the focus. He is the center rail of our railroad. And certainly he plays a factor in it. We have struggled on defense, and yet at times the defense looks really to be – I mean, I was a little bit concerned about Melvin Gordon. I mean, there's no question we have been up and down on stopping the run. Last week against Derrick Henry, they just absolutely got gashed. They hold Melvin to 14 attempts, 69 yards. Eckler only 24 yards. So I felt like, you know, the defense's identity, it just seems to – and look, maybe this is just them coming together. Maybe this is – maybe the reason there's no identity yet to this team is because they're still forming it, which is great. And I do think it's tough to play a team that doesn't have an identity. What do you stop? Where's – you know, what do you point to? Tyreek Hill not in the game yesterday. Obviously, that made a difference. But 24 points, I think, is uncharacteristically low for what we would say this Chiefs offense should be. So, you know, I don't know. It's an excellent, excellent question. I think it's one the Chiefs are going to have to be consistent enough at something headed into December football here, headed into postseason play, to have an identity, and that's yet to really unfold.
To Dan's point, Frank Clark had a season-high 5 pressures, with Rivers going 0-for-4 with an interception and a one that should have been intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu, and a sack fumble on those plays. So Frank Clark for his really was a bigger reason as any that Phillip Rivers had a nightmare game. Dan Israel from Chiefs Radio Network joining us after the Chiefs win over the Chargers in Mexico City 24-17. My biggest concern, and Bruce and I talked about it in the first segment, is the lack of the Chiefs' run game. I know Damian Williams was injured fairly early in that, but in non-Patrick Mahomes runs, they had 71 yards on 22 carries. Is that just how it's going to be, Dan, and the short passing game will be an extension of the running game, or is there something that can be done? I know that the offensive line was back together last game for the first time since, what, the Raider game at their place. I know that will help, but is there brighter days ahead in the run game for KC?
I sure hope so, and I think they hope so. I know they don't want Mahomes as the leading rusher amongst these. And, you know, really, we have so much richness, so much depth at that position. It's always kind of shocked me that we seem to be struggling here with injury or production. I did think LeSean McCoy looked flashed moments of, man, that guy is something else. He had a couple of runs where the speed that he exploded out of the pocket was incredibly impressive. But I think it's a little foggy for me just because of the short night, but I think he's in the concussion protocol.
Yes, correct.
So now we'll see. We got a couple of weeks of rest, and that's going to help everybody. But I know Williams, I think he got folded in half, and I mean, I think it just really kind of like crushed all his ribs together. Not crushed, that's too intense a word, but I think he's got just a lot of rib cage soreness. So I'm sure in 2 weeks, Damian Williams is going to be good, and it was good to get Dan. It was good to get Darrell Williams
Darryl,
out there. Thank you. So I think that's, you know, important that you get. You know, these guys got to get out there and get time, but I definitely think they want more production out of those backs. They feel like they have a much better running game. They just have not been able to do it on the field. And I, you know, look, the time of possession issue has been equally confusing with this Kansas City Chiefs team this year. Last week, they just obliterated the Titans in time of possession, and that's always been a stat to me that you can say, hey, you win that consistently, you win that big time, you're going to win the football game, and yet that hasn't been the case with the Chiefs. And so I think they want to have a running game. I think they want to be able to keep the other team off the field, because that's what's going to take when you go up against Tom Brady.
Dan Israel, our MVP this morning, with about 2 hours of sleep after heading back from Mexico City. Let me ask you about that experience, Dan. I understand opening up new revenue streams. I understand the NFL wanting to open new markets, merchandise being sold in London and Mexico City and places like that. Practicality of going and playing a football game in Mexico City and all that goes around it. I'm sure that there's a novelty factor to it, but from a practical standpoint, how good or bad is this for a football team to have to deal with?
You know, I'll toe the company line a little bit here and talk about, yes, the revenue streams, the international game. There is desire on the part of these fans to have the National Football League in their countries. It's not purely a let's, you know, feed them whatever we want to feed them and they'll eat it. There is really a desire there. I mean, the locals were truly, genuinely happy to see us there. And that's an interesting element of this discussion. However, and I'll separate this between London and Mexico City. And let me also preface this by saying that the people of Mexico City were incredibly gracious. Mexico City is not what you think of. It's not Tijuana, Mexico. It's not a bunch of street vending, haggling. It's very different. It was genuinely a wonderful place. They were gracious hosts. However, there are dynamics here in terms of like our own broadcast. We struggled to stay on the air yesterday simply because the stadium isn't equipped with enough internet to keep our facilities running. And so the venues have got to be at a level capable, in my opinion, the venues have got to be capable of supporting us to come down there. The field is another issue here, right? Excuse me. It looked wonderful. When you looked out on the field, I mean, it had the appearance of being well manicured, ready to go, nothing like what it was like after the Shakira concert last year. But you could tell as the game wore on that the field was not ready for true NFL action. I mean, it was coming apart with every tackle. I mean, divots were coming out of the field. And did it contribute to Tyreek Hill's hamstring pull? I don't know, but it's suspect. And so I think the NFL is going to, if they're going to say, look, we want to expand into these markets, they do owe it to the players. They owe it to the partners of the NFL. They owe it to everyone to say these venues have to be at an NFL caliber. That goes from top to bottom, player safety. And even, you know, we had military escorts everywhere we went, helicopters overhead. I don't know whether Mexico City is safe or not. I know there is a safety concern there. I did not experience any of it. I never felt unsafe, but I know that those are issues, and it's, you know, you have to factor all that in. The NFL wants to expand, and I'll give them the business right to do so, but I do think they're going to have to do a lot to make sure that these players are safe and that the fans and that they don't compromise the competitive aspect of either team, right? Because these are regular season games and they matter.
Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, talking Chiefs in Mexico City. They obviously didn't get out of that game unscathed. They won, but Damian Williams, Kendall Fuller, Tyreek Hill. Hill on the TV broadcast. And by the way, I was listening to you guys on the radio and had to listen to Art Haynes give some play-by-play, to your point, in getting back from the commercials. So
fortunately, Artie's there. He's a good guy
to have. Art's done that before. Yep. But on the TV broadcast, they continued to say that Tyreek Hill was questionable to return with a strained hamstring. I wonder if there's been any more than 0% of people with hamstring strains that are questionable that have ever gone back into a game, and he never did. But going forward, I know this is really preliminary, and you'll know more next week when we talk to you, but do you feel like that was just precautionary, or there was enough there that, Tyreek Hill can't go?
We were talking about this on the bus ride back to the airport last night, because I felt the same thing. I felt that was a strange, you know, a hamstring is just, it's one of those things. To answer your question, precautionary. Because I think it had something to do with the field, and I think it had something to do with the way the altitude and just the way Tyreek Hill felt. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know that, you know, especially as competitive as some of these individuals are, I don't know that a hamstring pull is enough to keep him out. He didn't seem to be, you know, he wasn't taped up or limping off the plane or in crutches or any of that stuff. So I think that's a very good sign. But I think by and large, I would have to label it precautionary, because I do feel it was a little bit out of character for that type of injury.
How much does this team need to get to the bye week? I mean, bye weeks should theoretically always help a football team. But the Chiefs really seem, to me, to need the time off for a lot of things. I mean, to get healthy, to get their brains wrapped around it. I like the fact that it's a little bit later in the season. Do you think that this football team is very well timed for a break right now, Dan?
I think it's a perfect time for a break for two reasons. One, because we are so banged up. You know, Emmanuel Ogba's not coming back this season, but we'll get Okafor back. I think the defense needs to get healthy. I think the offensive line, while out there, I'm not sure they were 100%. I think they need to continue to get healthy. Hill, the running backs, I think this is just a perfect time to get a couple of weeks break to kind of get people back and feel like you've got your full football team going into December and whatever postseason you can create. Second part of that is we're going up against the Raiders, and there's only one coach I want to be playing for after a bye. That's Andy Reid. I don't know what the guy does during the bye weekend other than spend his nights and days in his office coming up with things, but he's outstanding after the bye weekend. And so to have to play a team where you're neck and neck in your division, this is a good chance to put a dagger in the heart of the Oakland Raiders. And I think the bye weekend is just the ticket for that, just what the doctor prescribed.
And to your point, the offensive line, Dan, they were all back together. But, I mean, how healthy do you really think Eric Fisher is? I can understand those guys being active and cleared to play, but there's a difference between that and 100%. I don't mean to point out necessarily Eric Fisher, but he's better than that, better than he showed last night, and probably all those guys along the front.
No, I think you're exactly right. I think Duvernay-Tardif is the same way. Austin Reeder, you know, Reeder was I feel like, you know, that was more a game issue. But, you know, look, all the time off helps everybody. These guys are always banged up. Every player is hurting going into mid-November and December. Just the season, the wear and tear that you know, gets on you. You go out and you get it, you're playing on it, you get it taped up or whatever. It's sore, it's stiff, and you eventually kind of overcome that with adrenaline. And you go through that every week, and finally you get a bye weekend where you really get that true, okay, you start to feel better. An injury starts to feel better about Thursday or Friday, and you're not right back on it on Sunday. You get a whole week off. So I think all the guys need it, and certainly the offensive line, I agree. Just I feel like it'll take them from being in full participation to actually being 100%. That's a big difference. Can be a big difference anyway.
Were any of the players, since this is their bye week, were they allowed to not accompany the team back to Kansas City and go wherever they wanted to?
I don't know that – I know that nobody did that.
Okay.
I don't know that anybody even – I don't know that they would let him do that simply because, especially on an international game, there's nothing quite like trying to get a team in and out of a foreign country.
Let's get home first before we talk about going off to either coast then, right?
Yeah, exactly. I do think, you know, one of the guys that deserves a lot of credit for our ability to go down there and play that game was Mitch Reynolds, the traveling secretary for the Chiefs. Let me tell you, I would not want to be responsible for 53 football players going into a foreign country. That just sounds like too big a job for me. Carrying their passports alone is too much work for me.
Yep, no kidding.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back, Dan, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday as we get ready for the Raiders.
All right, guys, looking forward to it.
Appreciate you. Dan Israel.
Thanks, Dan. Get some rest.
Chiefs Radio Network. Chiefs win 24-17. No one expected the Cincinnati Bengals to be Super Bowl contenders this season, but they weren't supposed to be this bad either. They're 0-10, and they are the first team to officially be eliminated from playoff contention. But one of their fans has been stuck on a roof for 6 weeks because he wanted to – and we see this quite a bit with football teams – that fans stay up on either billboards or roofs or something like punish themselves until their team wins. Well, this guy's name is Jeff Lanham, and he's lived on the roof of his restaurant and has and will until they win. He went up there on October 7th after the Bengals went 0-5. He spends around 23 hours a day in a 12-foot by 10-foot tent. His meals are delivered by the restaurant waiters, and his wife stops by every so often to do his laundry. The tent has a heater, snacks, a cot, a sleeping bag, He's actually got a flat screen TV in there, so I'm not. I don't totally feel bad for the guy. Besides the weather, I guess when it rains, you know, you're stuck in a tent. And
well, it's the monotony of it that probably is the worst, right?
Well, 23 hours on a roof, presumably most of it by yourself. Sure.
Right. So
says he only leaves the roof to shower, and I assume to go to the bathroom, although he didn't mention that. But the odds of him staying up on the roof the rest of the season are only 9%. And that's the chances of the Bengals going winless. But
they played the Raiders fairly well, wasn't it? Yeah. They
One score the whole game.
Mm-hmm. It is the NFL.
Yep.
Difference between the best and the worst, not that significant.
Not really.
So, anyway, crazy stuff. Our thanks to Dan, by the way, for sucking it up and playing hard today.
I knew he'd be on empty, boy. Yep.
I mean, I'm telling you, those are tough turnarounds when you got to get going that quickly in the morning after no sleep. So, not to mention traveling that way. Ugh. All right, we'll continue here in a moment. Plenty of hoops to get to. Wichita State, KU with challenges tonight on their home floors. We'll get to it as we continue here in a moment. Shane and Bruce Rowland. Jet Chambers takes us to break. Sports Daily on a Tuesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.